sent out, starting with the phase three data collection progress. And Jill sent out a Google Doc as well as it's showing up on WebEx if anyone wants to, or WebEx if anyone wants to look at it there. So I'm just opening this up and taking a look at it for the first time here. Anybody wants to talk about their progress? Does everybody, can everybody see those documents?
Yeah.
No.
Well, I got a PDF that has more than is showing now on WebEx.
The WebEx will go page by page through the PDF.
Oh, okay. Got it. Thank you, Jill. Okay.
So it's probably just as easy on the PDF that Jill sent, I think. Take a look.
Oh, we should do, what should we be, we shouldn't get on the WebEx?
You can either, and Jill, correct me if I'm wrong, but you can either open up the PDF that Jill's just sent out, or you can look at this exact same document, is that correct, on the WebEx?
With the exception of the one that I sent to you guys, I didn't realize that the grid lines and the charts weren't visible, so if you can get past that, it's the same.
Okay.
Somebody else just came on?
Tina.
Good morning.
Hi, yeah. Tina.
Hi, Bill Dunty's here.
Oh, there was someone else that joined?
Hi, Bill Dunty's here.
Oh, hi, Bill. Okay, so we were just opening up the either the WebEx or the PDF that Jill sent that has the Google Docs for progress. And so it looks like the first page, we have the goals for the Ukraine project. And so we can see where in blue or what the numbers, the subjects enrolled and tested that where the goals are, and then the green are the actual numbers.
Looks good.
Yeah, it looks like it's meeting it. And then the second page is the neurobehavioral goals. So you can see from the various sites of how many individuals have been enrolled and tested.
For the USC side, I think there might that might not be accurate. Because we've seen six kids, not two.
Yeah, the reason that these numbers aren't exactly, this is Sarah, aren't exactly what have been tested is that we have, in the past funding period, we had a lot of problems with subjects being tested that ended up not being used. So we're not actually counting kids until they can be used. And so there are missing data, there are subjects, and we've talked about this by email this morning. There was a inconsistency, I think, with the way one of our variables was being reported, which is making, and I think for Elizabeth's specific cases, some of those will be added back in.
Yes.
But this is the first time we have this procedure, so it's just, we're just going to have to grow into it and make sure that it's encouraging people to enter all their data and make sure we have those variables. Because the truth is, if we don't have them, we can't use them. And that was a concern during the last period.
So if I'm reading this right, there's a goal across all four sites that's equal to have recruited five subjects for each of the three groups.
Which is not exactly the case because it's five subjects. If you remember, not all sites are recruiting all groups. So if you actually, I think if you open it up, you might be able to see it a little bit differently. In the below the bar chart, Jill, correct me if I'm wrong,
yeah.
But below the bar chart, there's a table, and like there's yellow boxes, and there's one box that's not yellow, so there's no recruitment goal in that white box. Does that make sense?
Okay. So you.
So USC has been not collecting contrast.
Yeah.
USC contrast.
No, we're not.
So if you look at the per group at all sites, like the total for AE, just down below that, there's 20 for alcohol exposed, 20 controls, and 15 contrast, and that's because three sites are recruiting contrast and four sites are recruiting the others. And this is only for the older. Oh, we must have two charts.
Yeah, you do.
This is only for the older subjects.
Yeah, you have the next page, too.
Yeah,
yay.
The next page is the younger individuals. But there's not many numbers on that one.
No, it's lower.
So when you said missing data earlier, it just means it's not yet entered.
Well, we don't always know the answer to that. It may be, hopefully it just means it's not yet entered, and that doesn't mean that it's missing. Like,
so there may be missing data from an individual, but once you've entered everything you have from somebody, then you'll count them.
Yes.
Well, not necessarily, John. If there was incomplete testing, that's our goal. That would be our goal, yes, that we know there are kids. Right now we know there are kids who have been tested and data, we're assuming, just haven't been entered. But in the past, we have had cases where there were data that we didn't get.
Okay.
And we're hoping that that's not going to happen again. That's one. But, yes, in answer to your question, that's definitely what the goal is.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so, let's see, I'm looking at this below the table. There's the table below the bar graph that has colors, and then there's another table below that's old subjects goal, and I guess that those are overall goals, right? 132 per site for three of them and 88 for USC. I see. So we are... goal per group on the above the table was 5, and then the group goals, which I guess are the endpoint goals, are in the range of 44. I guess is the number I see for most of them.
Right.
Okay.
That's over the whole life of the project, I believe.
Okay.
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. The top chart is just our first year.
Okay.
The top table rather.
And this recruitment goes on for how long?
Through the fourth year, maybe. I think it might go through half of the fifth year.
So does the goal...
It started
accelerate?
Halfway through the first year. I'm sorry, what, John?
Does the goal accelerate? I mean, this goal of 5, I mean, that's through when?
Through May 31st.
Oh, okay. So the goal for the whole year is...
May 31st is... May 31st is the end of our year.
Well, that is the year ending.
But it was a short...
It was a short year.
Okay. So then my original question was then, so for year two, the goal is going to be, has to be higher if you're going to meet 44.
Yes.
All right.
I don't remember if the actual Google documents, because this is taken from the Google document, if that is reflected in the actual Google. Well, there's a percent of total goal. It just has the year goal on it.
Percent of yearly site goal, percent of total site goal. Those are useful.
Yep.
Okay.
You resend it with grid lines. Thank you.
Okay.
All right.
And then the younger ones, the kids, is that... Sarah, can you just mention, you know, why the enrollment is slower there?
I'm guessing that the younger kids is somewhat slower. I can really only speak for San Diego from this perspective, in that the older kids may be kids that we had already recruited for CFEST 2 and were easier to get. Mm-hmm. We have tested. I know that all sites, as Elizabeth pointed out, all sites have tested more than are reflected here, and there were a few more younger kids, but it doesn't match the older kids at this point.
Okay.
So some have been tested, but they don't qualify to be put in the table?
Right.
As because there's additional tests?
Most likely, it's possible that they haven't completed all of their testing. Mostly that would be parent or questionnaire, because all of the neuropsych testing gets done at the same time. It's possible, I don't think this happened yet, but it's possible that subjects didn't complete the testing because... something happened in the middle of testing. Most likely, it's that the data exists and haven't been entered yet.
Okay. So there'll always be a certain amount of that.
We have a timeline now. We know we obviously know when the conference calls are. We get the tally the Monday before the conference call, so uploading has to be done the last week of the month to make sure everything is uploaded to be counted in time. And there is some degree of, you have to, if there are inconsistent, if the upload doesn't go smoothly the first time, you have to go back and make sure it goes smoothly. And so if you don't quite finalize it, it's also possible that things aren't getting counted. But that's all, you know, things that we that will get smoother as we go forward.
Yeah.
Now that, and this is the first time we've instituted it, so now we know, you know, the Friday before the Monday, before the Wednesday, everything has to be uploaded.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
The PIs for each project have access to entering data into the Google Docs at any point, and everyone on this call can look at the Google Docs within their Google Drive whenever they want. So everyone can view them, just a few people can enter the data in.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Any other questions about the neurobehavioral? If you scroll down to the next sheet, then we have the neuroimaging goals.
So, again, this, you know, the we've actually seen six kids at USC, and we have six scheduled. San Diego's seen one kid, right, Sarah?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so Dr. Sell, I think Max from your group is updating the chart, so he'll want to make sure he updates that on the Monday before each
right.
call.
Right.
I think UMN's numbers are also wrong.
I think so, too.
I think this chart just wasn't
updated. That, right?
Yeah, it just wasn't updated.
I think it was Jeff's on the call, so maybe Jeff can speak to that.
Yeah, I think we have 12 scans completed.
Mm-hmm.
And so for this tally, you're when the scan is done, you count the child.
Yes, and that's where, you know, we need to work something out, because at USC we've scanned six kids, but because they're being funneled through the neurobehavior stuff, it's reflected as only two, even if we count every kid that comes through. So it's just a matter of figuring out with the other project how that's, because my inclination would be as soon as they're scanned, they would count in the Google Docs. And that the neurobehavior might be separate from that.
Right.
Because
and I think that's how we're doing it. It's just
yeah.
That's why there's two separate charts.
I know, but if I were doing it, it would have been six at USC, and it would have been 12 at UMN.
Where? So, on the imaging chart?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I don't know why the imaging chart. I had just assumed it wasn't updated.
Dr. Sell, you are the person doing the neuroimaging chart.
Correct.
Okay.
So it sounds like just a matter of keeping up on the tally on that, right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Exactly.
Okay. And then scrolling down, we have the 3D imaging goals.
You want me to walk you through that?
Yeah, that'd be great.
Okay. So you create the – I will say that the problem we have is we don't have the camera there yet, so we were hoping to get it there in March. We can't get overlapping dates that we can have work out with Tina, so now we're exploring dates in April and May and maybe even June. So we'll have to have somebody over there. We need someone over there for a week at the same time. They have somebody over there so we can do all the training. And so that would be more problematic than I thought it would be. So we don't have any Ukraine images. Currently, images are collected where there's a camera. And so there's a camera placed in San Diego, so that's why they've continued to collect images. We have a trip to Minneapolis. Stefan, is it the last week of April? I don't know if he's on. I think it's the last week of April. Both Ken Jones and Leah are going. And I don't know how many kids are scheduled there, but we'll be imaging a number of kids there. The path, I just checked with Leah because I panicked when I saw this 900 right there. They are almost done completing all the 12-month images, so I don't know why that number isn't filled in. I was just trying to get the exact number when I saw this table and realized it wasn't filled in, so I'm hoping to get that while we're on the call. I think we're just a couple hundred shy of having the full 1,200 now. We just got a drive that got sent to us last week, so we get them quarterly, and that's the only way we know exactly who's been collected. And then the Jacobsons, we're doing our visit with them in September of 2013.
So you don't have a goal for that?
No, we do. No, there is a goal for that. I don't understand actually why it's not there. Yeah, we're seeing 220 kids there.
Okay, so this is actually listing the total goal. It's not the per group.
Well, I don't know what the group would mean because it's not. They're not in one of the. I don't know what the groups mean up above.
Yeah, that's probably just leftover title.
Ukraine, where they're kind of their own category, and maybe that's the confusion. I'm sorry. Did we do this wrong, Jill? We spent so long trying to get this all right. They're their own category in their own row in my grant. So they're not neurobehavioral young or neurobehavioral old. They're their own bucket.
Oh, yeah, I understand that, but it's just that's the total goal. I'm looking at the column heading.
Mm-hmm.
So their goal, so they're not a goal per group. Their goal is 220 during these 5 years, and they're all going to be done in one study visit.
Yeah. So it really should just be goal or goal per project.
Goal per site.
Not per site either. Just goal per project.
No, it's not. I think it should just be goal.
I just changed it to that on the Google Doc. So.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
Does that make sense? And I don't know if what
it
we
does.
Did wrong
okay.
There.
I got
sorry,
it.
And those are all separate from the pass.
Yes, they're all separate from pass. A totally different site.
Mm-hmm.
Tatiana, so in terms of the getting things going in the Ukraine, how time sensitive is that? Are there subjects that are?
Well, I mean, I'm anxious. I think there is Tina on.
Yeah, it's Dale. I don't think it's time sensitive because the requirement for seeing the kids at the various ages, they're going to be coming in, you know, at birth, 6 months, 1 year, the new ones that are being recruited, and then the older kids will be coming in at various times. So I think by the time we get the camera there, which I hope will be at that last week in April. As opposed to June, that will still be okay.
Is that one of the weeks we've been looking at, Tina?
Yeah.
Are you one step ahead of what I know? I'm sorry. Okay. Please.
Yeah. No, that's the one of the weeks that Jeff had proposed. I'm going to be there the first week in April, but I'm more than willing to go back the last week in April.
Oh, perfect. I missed that loop then. That's fantastic. If we're looking at the last week of April, great.
And then that camera, is it planned
to
stay
there? It'll
okay.
Stay there. That's the whole reason why we got to have a week for training. It's
yeah.
Got to stay there. We have to have enough time that we do enough kids that everyone feels comfortable setting up, taking down, setting. It'll take a full week, I think.
Yeah. And is this the same camera that you're planning on sending to San Diego to UC?
Yeah, it's a brand new camera.
Okay.
So they've just the order went in. It was. I mean, Bill really helped us. So we did it with carryover, and the order got placed, and I believe the camera's supposed to be shipping in the next, I want to say in the next week is the last I heard, and then they have to do testing here and get set up and everything. So it would have been tight for March, which is what we were going for, but we'll absolutely be ready last week of April.
And that's a separate camera than the one in Minneapolis.
Right, so we ordered three new cameras.
Okay.
With our carryover, and so one is going to the Ukraine. We're trying to figure out with the other two. We're hoping that if things go smoothly in Minneapolis, it may make sense to have one there if there's going to be enough kids seen there. And then we're debating, depending on what's going on, if we need to put that third one as a replacement. We've got some issues with one in San Diego, and we're also monitoring the one in South Africa to make sure it's going to hold out well for the last of the images we need. So we're just kind of watching to see where it needs to go, the third one.
So what about L.A.? Are we in consideration for having camera? Or
I mean, I think if you have somebody who wants to be trained, I guess you just have a sense that you wanted to have someone doing images there. And because we don't do that in Atlanta either. I mean, would you have a place
yeah.
With that if you did? I mean.
Well, I guess either way would be fine. I mean, we've been tying it to when Ken
comes, and you're pretty close to Ken, so he comes pretty. He comes.
Yeah, and I think that's reasonable.
Okay.
I mean, it would certainly be easier to do it when they're there anyway, but you know, because we have to get them back for another visit. But
I guess part of the reason we're thinking of Minneapolis is actually it's such a strong fetal alcohol syndrome group up there. I think there's opportunities to get a lot of it, I mean, I'm wrong. I mean, I'm speaking too broadly, Jeff, but I think there's a lot of opportunities to potentially even get some additional kids if we needed them, and that we'd get a good set of controls, too, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's true, that we have a pretty good flow through the clinic that may be accessible for extra kind of images outside of the CFASC. I mean, outside of the imaging and neurobehavioral
right.
projects.
Right, yeah.
Okay. Any other questions on the 3D?
So what I need to do is I will work with Jill. I think we need to still play with getting this quite right, and that's my fault.
I've been updating it as we've been talking. So.
Oh, thanks, Jill.
She's on top of it.
Okay, we struggled with it the first time, and so.
Okay.
Ours is a more confusing project. Oh, and then I've got DNA next. Is that right?
We don't have.
Oh, yes. We don't. Yeah.
We don't have a chart for your DNA. Like
so
we just.
I'm confused. Fine. This has DNA Sarkar goals.
Yeah.
Right. So that's for Dr. Sarkar's project.
So he has DNA shipped already to him. Is that what that means?
According to this, well, there's been no, it's not clear.
I'm sorry, did we do this too? Are we filling this thing out? So this is a little different than I think what you'd want. And is that reflected in this part?
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you. Something was going on.
Oh, so we've shipped him DNA samples. Is that what this chart reflects? Because this chart would make me think nothing had gone to him, but he had DNA shipped to him.
So what did you ship him then?
Jackie's on the phone, too. I think he received, I think he got 35 samples or so. I could double-check the actual manifest. So he had samples sent. He didn't, this doesn't reflect what he got. So how... I'm sorry, so I guess I didn't realize this was how
the email I received from him was that he's received nothing yet and maybe next week.
Samples?
No, actually I have a reply email from him right here that he got the samples and
there's no way he may not have generated data on them, but he received the samples a long time ago.
But I'm not sure if he's talking about your samples or samples from someone else, Dr. Fruit. I'm not sure.
Oh, then I can't speak to that. Sorry.
Well, yeah. And unfortunately he's not on the call today.
Okay. So I think what you'd rather have maybe is how many DNA samples we have. So if this is geared towards EPOC, I think we want a different chart, which is how many DNA samples do we have in the CFAS consortium? I think that's a different question that you probably want to have a chart for.
What I did is I contacted all of you guys, and we just tried to build the chart. So
I'm not criticizing. I'm just making a suggestion for what we would want for next month.
Okay.
Jill, I didn't mean it to sound like that way. I'm so
no, not at all. I'll send out another email, and we'll get these revamped for the next call.
Okay, but I think that's what I should give you. Jackie, do you have when he received the samples?
Yes, he received them on January the 16th.
So I'm not sure what the issue is here. So he has the samples, and if you want me to break out what he got, I'd be glad to do that as well. And we can email with him separately and try to clarify what it is he thinks he's going to show. Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
So I've got a general question about these charts. So I've been having difficulty accessing the Google Docs lately, but I think I can work my way through that. But so my question is what I'm looking at here in the PDF, is it just a dump or a printout from those docs, or is someone going to additional effort? Are there parallel efforts here, in other words?
Pulling them down from the so this morning I pulled them down and put them into the PDF so that everyone could view them that way like we did last time.
So you're not recreating graphs, you're just capturing them and pasting?
Some of them I have to because the online documents and Excel don't agree, and they won't allow you to pull things down. It's just little things, but it's not a big deal.
Okay, great. That's what I wanted
to
hear.
Okay. Okay, any other questions about the Google the information in the Google Docs? So the next thing on the agenda, at our January meeting, we collected 150 word summaries. I made some revisions based, some of them I know that people wanted to revise. I didn't get those, but I went ahead and made some revisions on those kind of concise statements of what your work is. At that meeting, Michael had mentioned creating just 2 to 3 slides that really capture what's in the 150-word description. So if everybody could do that, that would be great. I also want to mention that at the International FASD conference last week, the CFAS had a very good session. And a lot of those slides, I think, again, it was really geared toward a broader audience. And so I would ask if you could send those to me, Elizabeth, Shauna, and Peter, I think I maybe have yours. But if you can send those as well, because I think that there was still some concern on of making sure that the slides that we have available for NOFAS are simple enough that that really touch upon the key issues that are going to be important if they're being presented to Congress and other policymakers. So if everyone can send just those 2 to 3 that Michael had suggested at the end of our last meeting in January, that would be great. You can just send those to me, or you can upload them directly to Dropbox.
Are those the same or different from the ones we provided to NOFAS?
Well, the ones that we have, again, there may be some kind of overlap, but I think the idea that Michael had suggested was kind of taking those 150-word summaries and thinking, what would you show to really illustrate that basic summary?
Okay.
Okay, and then other follow-ups for the 2000 for the January meeting. Bill, I know that you sent out an email about the Data Access Committee, and maybe you can update us on that.
Sure. There really were about 2 or 3 major outcomes of that meeting, and the first was we tried to get a recommendation to really this group. So we see this group being the PIs and Dale and Ed as being the oversight body for you know CFAS and for the DAC as well. So you saw in the email kind of the draft charge we had, and we modified that a little bit to make sure that the DAC would receive a request for data access, but really it was up to this committee to make sure that they were approved for access, and of course with approval of the PI for those that are still within an enclave. And the second thing was that the data, we recommend the data for all the phase one CFAS be released or made available. That doesn't mean that we're just going to put them out on the internet, but that means we start making them available to researchers who want to start working with them. And then that we start to collect data sharing agreements from the CFAS PI so that we can describe to people outside CFAS who might want to work with the data, you know, what the rules are for working with the data and who they need to get approvals from and things like that. So we can have a clear process by which people understand how they can get access to the data, who has to sign off, things like that. So I think those are really the big things that we recommended. We don't have the full group here, but I would like to get, I think if we can get the group to basically sign off on those 3 big things, then I think that we're in a position to start, you know, moving forward on them as the DAC and start to, you know, fulfill our mission of making CFAS data available. The only other thing that we recommended is that Jennifer, you and I start working on maybe improving the rapidity with which we can get data get information up on the CFAS website. Because as we start, you know, having a more public presence and having a greater outreach to researchers, we're going to need to update data a little bit more rapidly than we have in the past and talk about what the best way to handle that is. So those were the kind of highlights of what we had in our first meeting. So I guess the real question for this group is what's the best way to get the kind of oversight or the steering committee, well, let's call it the steering committee, to approve the three recommendations that we have for now so that we can start chipping away on the implications of those recommendations.
Well,
I guess I would send it up the flagpole to Ed, and then Ed is surrounded by a scientific advisory board who might enlist in that process. And
yeah. Okay, so I will do that.
So Bill, in the email you sent, it wasn't clear to me what the three recommendations are. Is that in the email you sent?
It is. So if you look at the minutes, they're basically points 1, 2, and 3 were discussed. Discuss the three. Discuss those three recommendations.
Okay.
Yeah, and I would let Ed make this decision, but you know, he wouldn't necessarily have to limit the decision to him and or the SAB. In the PAST network, for example, the steering committee is comprised of all the PIs and at least, I think, generally a co-PI for each of the sites. And so there's different ways of doing it.
Right.
But I think we just haven't crossed this bridge yet, PFAST, having to make a group decision. And maybe we don't need to form the process, may need to be so formalized it may not come up.
And I just don't know who would be that person or group, and so I guess maybe we just need to really ask that question first. But for me, I don't have an investment in this, so it doesn't really matter to me. I want to make sure the process is transparent and everyone has the appropriate voice, and that we're following all the regulatory kind of guidelines or data sharing agreement. Direction that we get from NIH, but also to respect the fact that these researchers have collected all this data and they have some intellectual property rights on them as well, and just kind of see what we can do to chart out that course moving forward in the most transparent way possible.
Mm-hmm. Well, it seems like, I guess I'm a little confused, but it seems like our steering committee, as we talked about, Bill, is the appropriate body for that, not the Science Advisory Board.
Right. Yeah. I don't. So whatever it is, I don't care. I just want to know what it is, so we can I can ask them.
I'd agree with that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Be in the hands of the PIs.
Okay.
I agree. Although we're still just talking about phase one data at the moment.
Well, so part of the recommendation is not only that, but that that whatever this group is, and I guess it's now the PIs of CFAS led by Ed. Would annually review the data that are in the central repository or otherwise have been collected by CFAS PIs and make a decision about, is it time to release these data? Or mm-hmm. by release, I mean make them available to researchers, not put them any place where people can get access.
Yeah, I see.
Just make sure it's more of a process and a policy decision than it is, posting them out on the Internet. That's not part of this process.
Mm-hmm.
I don't envision it.
But there has to be a way for individuals to know what type of data are available.
Exactly.
If they're going to make requests.
Exactly. That's really the goal, is to make it visible so people can say, oh, I see what's out there, and I see how I can request it.
Well, those were your first two statements, your first two requests.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
So I will reformulate this in an email to the PIs and to Ed, and Elizabeth, to your question, I'll make the recommendations more explicit at the top, so that you guys so you guys make sure you're clear on them, and then we'll send that around. with the response we get from that, we'll have direction on how to move forward next.
And just in case this is helpful for this kind of situation and other situations, I just want to let everyone know that on the consortium website itself in the secured area, the quick link email lists have been updated for phase three. So if you wanted to email all PIs, there's a link there to do that.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Was somebody going to be checking with Deepak that he received what was sent, by the way?
Well, he's already written us an email saying he received what he got sent. I mean, that's what Jackie was reading.
Oh, okay.
Isn't that correct, Jackie?
Yes, it was an email from him saying he received the sample. samples this morning, and that was January the 16th.
Oh, yes. Thanks. Sorry, you did say that.
No. So I'm just, that's why I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, it sounds like there just needs to be a phone call to kind of clarify where the status of those
samples. Yeah, he may not have results, and maybe that's what he's
right.
referring
yeah.
to.
Right.
It would be helpful if we had a projected timeline of when he anticipates he might have results to share.
I think that, isn't he have a 2-year pilot project? Isn't this what his, maybe I'm wrong, is this what part of his pilot project is?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So you're right. I we could probably look in what he prepared to get a sense, because I don't think this is all he's going to do.
No, if I'm not mistaken, he was going to perform some process on these samples just to see if it worked the way he thought it was going to work, and then we're going to send him more samples. He only got about 40 samples this time.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but wasn't his funding delayed a year in anticipation that it would take a while to get this started?
No.
Or am I confusing it with another?
That's Raj Miranda.
That's Raj. Okay. Right. Yeah. Sorry.
And then
sorry.
Didn't he also, Tina, is he talking to you about samples too?
Yeah. And the MTA is being processed now. The samples have to come from Davis to UCSD first and the DNA extracted, and then we're going to send it to him.
Yeah.
So I expect that's probably going to be another couple of months before he'll get the samples from us, and it's about 60 samples from others.
Yeah, so he's going to have, because I know what he originally, just to clarify, what he originally was looking for was longitudinal samples. And I think there had been some confusion on his part that, of course, we don't have a lot of longitudinal samples. And he hadn't understood initially that what we had was saliva. And so that's why, in some sense, it was important that he had this pairing, not only with what he was getting from us, but also with Tina. Because with Tina, he's getting blood DNA. For me, he's getting saliva DNA. I don't know that you have necessary longitudinal either. Do you, Tina?
Well, when you say longitudinal, yeah, we have, you know, two samples within pregnancy, and then ultimately we'll have the child that goes with the mother. But what I understood from him that he was going to look at was the samples that we have the greatest quantity of, which is the first one in pregnancy from the mothers, and that's
what
he's going to get in the pilot time frame.
And I may have it wrong. He and I went back and forth in a lot of emails trying to really clarify what he wanted. You know, in my case, limiting it to a single sample, and then what kinds of, you know, how important it was to have balance between males and females and numbers and all that. So, okay. Sorry, I didn't mean to belabor it. I just wanted to let you know.
Okay. No, that's good. Were there other committee reports from updating items from our January meeting, the IRB, for example? I wasn't on the call last month, so I'm not sure where we stand on those.
How about Jackie and I both do an update? And I'll start it, and I'm going to let her finish it because she's really done most of the hands-on. So we reviewed everybody's relevant IRB documents. So we collected up everything that everyone was using, and that is for the 4 U.S. sites. That's the scope at which we did this. We created a consensus set of points. They didn't have to be done verbatim, but everyone had to have the elements in their consents. And then I must confess, once we'd achieved that resolution, I turned it over to Jackie's very capable hands, and now she can give you an update on each of the individual sites. Go ahead.
Okay, perfect. So for the Atlanta site, there were 4 forms that we were looking at. It turns out that one of them, we did edit, but they're no longer using it, so it was off the table. One of the forms, all the changes and suggested edits were made, and the other two, one was returned to us. We had further changes, and they're working on them. The third one, they had said, was one that Claire Coles would be looking at, and I haven't heard anything about that one yet.
Then we've got Wozniak. He's all taken care of, right?
Wozniak is completely taken care of. All the changes were made for his site. There were 3 forms, and I have not heard anything back about those. And then San Diego, there were 4 forms. There were just some minor things on it. We talked back and forth, and those are completely resolved, so they are finished.
Okay. And I guess, Jeff, are you back at the IRB with your edited forms?
Yes, my forms are back in the IRB. They went in on last Friday.
And I think that some of the changes we put put there, I think we'll be really glad, assuming that we hope they'll be able to go through, not having to reconsent kids and stuff when they hit 18 and stuff. And so really the two open-ended ones still are Atlanta and Los Angeles. Those are not,
okay,
not finalized yet.
Okay.
Well, in L.A. they're not finalized because we're editing them to submit to IRB, right? But everything else.
Well, no, you have to send us back how you're going to do the changes. And so we have to look at it before it goes back to the IRB. So you've been told, your forms have been indicated where things need to be added or changed, and then we see it one more time to make sure all those changes are made, and then you submit it to the IRB.
Okay. Got it.
Got it. And I can't remember who we worked with. We worked with somebody.
I think.
Okay.
And I think
we just want to make sure we have a last look. And then the agreement is we're going to look at it annually. We're going to ask you for it annually. We want to look at all the consents again and make sure we don't get drift again.
Because there are two sites that we are going to have to go back and do some tracking on because of some clauses that were in the informed consent forms. Tatiana, I don't know if you want to discuss those or not.
So there's some where it has people were able to indicate yes or no to particular responses that were in the original consent. And so the challenge is when we get the sample, we don't know what they answered to some of those questions. And so we're going to have to create new elements in our saliva tracking where until those people potentially are reconsented and we can obviate those clauses, we'll have to track whether or not we can release them at certain times or under certain conditions. So we're going to try to get those people reconsented so we won't have to do this. Is that correct, Jackie?
So some of those are at L.A., the first few kids we've seen?
Well, actually, some of them are at Jeff's. So the fact that you have to reconsent them when they're 18,
right.
And there's a couple others about re-asking about certain kinds of studies, and I think the other one might be Los Angeles. I think you're right.
Right. I think that in our consent we didn't specifically talk about the DB gap thing,
mm-hmm.
but for those few kids, we would have to bring them back in for the 3D imaging and Ken, so that would be a perfect.
And then we could reconsent them. Yep.
Yeah,
I think we'd have to track it until that's done. Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's why, but it's just because of all this. This is why, I mean, I think we've agreed to do this. And so Jackie's going to put in a certain month of the year. She's going to ask every year, that same month, everybody send me your current approved consent. She's going to look them all over, make sure nothing's been changed that would negate anything we've agreed to do, and then you'll get a little blessing, and then we go on for another year. But that's why we're trying to be really careful that we have exactly what we want in the versions that go back to the IRB. I hope that's what you wanted me to do. That's what I'm doing.
Yeah, it was a really important, though pain in the butt issue, but it really needed to be cleaned up. So
I think we'll be glad, and I tell you, Jackie will make sure it is exactly what it's supposed to be.
All right. Okay. So, are there any other items from the January meeting that we need to address before we, in the last 10 minutes, we can just do our per project updates?
And before we do those updates, I just want to remind everyone that your progress reports that are the official ones to NIAAA are due for April 1st. Correct? Everyone's on the same deadline?
Yep, I started doing mine. Yep.
I have a question for Dale or Bill about the progress reports. So we started working on ours, and as you know, one of the questions is about carryover, and we're trying to be extra careful, but our year was short, and so the question is, do we anticipate more than 25% carryover? My goal is not to, but I want to know what your opinion is about that 25% cutoff, and whether that's too high, if we should even shoot for less than that, or that because it's a shorter year, carryover might be. I mean, the message we've gotten in the past is that carryover, we're done with carryover, pretty much.
So is the question, do you anticipate having more than 25% when you send in the progress report?
No, my question is whether that 25% is a good number to shoot for, or 25% or less, or I guess I have multiple. It's a multi-layered question. I mean, it's possible because our year is short that we'll have more than 25%. We're really, really trying not to because of the messages that we've had in the past about carryover.
Well, and even more recently with the
sequester thing or whatever,
right?
Right.
So I guess I'm looking for some guidance on what we if we're going to have more than 25%, I want to say it in my progress report so I don't have problems later. But I'm even worried that 25% may be too high to say we have 24.9%.
Well,
and I don't know if you have any.
Of course, I would be honest and you know, list if it's going to be more than 25%, state the obvious where I think you had only a 10-month budget period.
Yeah.
And it's really only to trigger us and grants management to look for a potential carryover request.
Right.
I think the message of trying to minimize carryover requests, I think that's a good one given the fiscal times that we're in and mm-hmm. and that we'll be entering down the road. So
Yeah, and I would add, just kind of reemphasize it. You know, it kind of boils down to how you justify it.
Right.
And, you know, there has to be a reasonable justification for it.
Right.
And then on top of that, I think it's important to explain how you're going to or how you envision spending that carryover.
Right.
You know, what's the plan? And these are things that we look for with R01s. With R01s, as you might know, the grantee institution has the extended authority to just carry over money without a need for approval
up to
25%.
Right. And so actually,
if it's over, then we need to hear about it. We need to hear the justification. But it's not like a trigger that, you know, gets everyone all, you know, jumping out of their seats. It happens all the time with R01s.
But Dale, with a UO1, so that's the follow-up question, is that with a UO1, we don't have that automatic, or our institution doesn't have that automatic approval, so we still have to put in a carryover request, even if it's less than 25%.
That's true.
Yes.
That's true. I'm just saying that...
So 25% may not be such a magic number.
Yeah, it is a threshold number for R01s because of the policy of you know, having the authority to carry over anything up to that amount. And it probably just spills over from that. But it's probably a reasonable limit to try to stay within. But, you know, if you go over, you know, in this case, in any event, you need to provide an explanation for why it happened. And you have some obvious things to fall back on there. And then provide some elements of the plan to get back on track.
Okay.
In your justification. All right, Bill, you see it that way too, that it's not going to necessarily set off alarm bells.
Right.
But just appropriately justify it and explain the plan going forward.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, we have about 5 minutes left, so we'll just kind of go through the projects. And Kathy and Shauna, we haven't heard from you yet today, so maybe you can give us a little update on what's going on.
Sure. So I guess the last time we updated anybody, that Magnet over at Duke was going through an upgrade, and it has been upgraded at this point. The DTI images that we've been collecting are really spectacular. They should allow us to get some really nice tractography results from. So we're excited about that. We have more face brain experiments kind of on the horizon. We're busy taking up Duke's magnet time with another project right now, but hopefully we'll be collecting more data for that in May. Do you want to update about the LRP2?
We have finally gotten the MTA approved through our university in agreement with Germany, and our LRP2 knockout mice, I think, are on their way across the ocean. And so we're excited about setting up that colony and sort of following up on Johan's finding with LRP2 in the fish. And we are about ready to submit a paper with Scott as first author with the data that was actually collected as part of the previous funding period. But anyway, getting our loose ends tied up. So that's probably all we have to say right now.
Okay. Tina, do you have any updates?
Yeah, so as I said in our progress report, they're recruiting new pregnant women into the study, and actually we have spread this out over 5 years of recruitment, and I think they actually are going to finish it within 2 years, so that's great. We've got one manuscript that's finished in its final form, ready to be submitted, just being signed off by the Ukrainian partners. Got another training trip for Claire and Julie planned in April, which will get them out of the box in terms of being able to do the new testing battery, starting this within the next couple of months. And then the last thing is getting these samples down here from Davis. We're all set to do the DNA extraction and ready to go on that, and then we can get that little piece of our last specific game done and get the samples off to DPOC.
Okay. And Peter and Tatiana?
Peter on?
Tatiana, why didn't you go first?
Oh, sure. So what we've got, so our update is we got a drive, as I mentioned, from South Africa. So I can tell you we have about 700 images now on the 1,200 kids for the second visit. So we're still, and that's through the end of the year. So we're probably indeed pretty close to having the full 1,200. We've got a trip that I mentioned in terms of image collection, the end of April in Minnesota. We'll be going to the Ukraine. I hear now the end of April. And so I think all that is well positioned. I think we also made some nice progress in speaking with PASS, and hope that we maybe have gotten a little bridge perhaps to get a little bit more information on alcohol exposure, at least get a good set of controls. And I don't know if you want to use that as a segue, Peter, to say a little bit more about how we want to interact with PASS and where we want to go in the next couple months. You want to do that, or you want me to?
Well, we made a successful presentation to the Dysmorphology Committee a week ago, I suppose.
It feels like longer.
And they were impressed, I think, and have suggested that we now present to the steering committee in about 2 weeks' time. And as Tatiana says, this is all part of trying to convince them that there is potential for doing some interesting analysis now. And actually, that's only with an analysis of about 160 children. As Tatiana says, there's another 500 or so to add. But of course, we can't really put our hand on our heart and say these results are what we think they are, because we don't know who's exposed. And so the idea also is to convince them that if they can tell us the IDs of a group of children they know are definitely not exposed, then we can at least be normalizing against a healthy control group, and then that will make our results, I think, even better.
Okay.
Yeah, and people should understand, probably do understand, that the PASS network is a prospective study,
mm-hmm.
and so they're very and it's still ongoing. So they're very sensitive about information that gets out into the public domain about exposures in their populations, in that it might affect future enrollment and other things like that. But yeah, everyone's very excited about what is coming out of that study, and I'm looking forward to the upcoming presentation to the steering committee.
Is Johan still on?
I am.
Oh, okay. Do you have anything you want to update?
Yeah, so I guess I wasn't on the call last month. So the update then from our meeting, we've established the genotyping for now nearly all of the lines. So originally we had 29 mutants that came in. Several of those we just never got breeding stocks out of them, and then a couple more dropped out because we could never get any genotyping protocol. So we're down to 22 or 23 lines now that we have those protocols for. You may remember that we were a lot of what I call question marks on there. Most of those, and we were very skeptical of those, and most of those, in fact, do not segregate with any genotype at all. And so right now we have five or six gene-ethanol interactions that we've seen in duplicate and do segregate by genotype on our genotyping. And there are four or five more that we still need to do the genotyping, but we're reasonably confident that there's an interaction there. I just did, for the fun of it, I took those genes that we are seeing interaction with, both in this screen and genes that we've identified in previous screens, and did a network analysis on them. And three of those genes are actually fairly well interconnected, those being LRP2, PLK1, and PDGFRA, which is actually the gene that we see the strongest genetic interaction with. And they're interconnected with one another through a group of scaffolding proteins, the disc large family, and a guanylate kinase called MAGE3. And so there's actually a DLG1 or 2 mutant in zebrafish, so we're getting that to screen to see if these genes that are interacting in this network with themselves also be ethanol sensitive. And so we're pretty excited about that, particularly since LRP2 is in there and with the possible interaction with Kathy's group.
Okay, we're at 11 o'clock, and I know we've heard a little bit from Sarah, Elizabeth, and Jeff as we've gone through the spreadsheets. Do any of the three of you have anything to update or add to what we've already discussed?
I don't have to add anything. Sure.
Elizabeth?
No, I don't have anything else to add.
Okay. Any other issues? We're going to start losing people as we hit the 11 o'clock mark, but...
2 o'clock.
Yeah, I've got a quick thing I wanted to mention. We've talked about press releases in the past,
mm-hmm.
and I just want to just encourage you all. Sometimes we don't know a paper's coming out until it's out, so what would help us is if you guys could send your papers upon acceptance to Bill and I.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll look them over and then try to run them up the flagpole at NIAAA and for consideration of a press release. Okay?
So when it gets
accepted. Mm-hmm.
That's great. And actually, too, if people can send information to me as well, because I know that Kathy and Tom, we've talked about, again, trying to get information out as well. So maybe we can coordinate all those efforts. So definitely, if anyone has a paper coming out, to let Dale and Bill and myself know, so we can get it out maybe through multiple venues, would be great.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you, everyone, and we'll talk next month.
Thanks, Jennifer.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.